Good evening. I'd like to welcome everybody here tonight. I'm going to try to turn that light off. I'd like to welcome everyone here, especially any visitors that we have. And I'd like to go ahead and begin reading in the passage in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. For the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In this passage, it talks about the men of old gained approval by their faith. And ultimately, isn't that what we are trying to do now, is to gain approval? And we see that, and I think we can recognize that we're going to gain God's approval the same way they did, by faith and by through obedience. And if you keep on reading down through this chapter, you're going to see that he's going to list a lot of people there we studied about in the Old Testament who had a lot of faith and were obedient. There's people like Abraham in here and David, and how these men, and there's women, Moses, how they accomplished great things and were obedient to God. But if you get down here to the end of the chapter, there's some people, and he goes on to say, you know, I could keep on going, and he makes a list of a few people, and in there is Samson. And do you all remember about Samson? He was this devout person who was obedient and always did things that were approving to God. Is that what we find when we study about Samson? I'd like to just look at Samson and kind of review the story there a little bit of Samson. So I want to turn over to Judges, the 13th chapter. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. Now the sons of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord, so the Lord gave them into the hands of the Philistines for 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had borne no children. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, "Behold, now you are barren and you have borne no children, but you shall conceive and give birth to a son. Now therefore be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and give birth to a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines." So here we see the children of Israel have sinned and throughout the judges period there, and God was going to raise up a judge, and he comes to Samson's parents, and he tells them about this, and he's supposed to be a Nazarite. He's not supposed to shave his head, and there are other things that go along with taking this Nazarite vow. And so I see from the very beginning, Samson has got a purpose. Now, how special would it be to be from your birth, you have been given a purpose that you're going to accomplish? Like, he was supposed to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. I mean, that's the thing that movies are made about, right? They'll show a movie and a child is born, and this is going to be the king. This is going to be the one that performs whatever needs to be performed. The whole series, Harry Potter, I mean, Harry Potter was the savior, right? I mean, it's the whole idea that he had a purpose. He had a noble purpose to deliver God's people. But I think that if we study the scriptures, what we're going to find out is we too have a purpose, don't we? You know, if this happened, Mom and Dad ever told me, I don't think angel ever came and talked to them and told them I was going to be something special. I don't think that happened to anybody else in here either. But I think we have a purpose. If we look at the scriptures, and I just want to look at one chapter in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter. I want to read 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and verse 11. But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called. And you made good, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. If we've become a Christian, we are called to a greater purpose. We're to flee these things. This old man of God, flee these things. Take hold of eternal life. So like Samson had a purpose, we also have a purpose. Now, Samson's purpose was to physically deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. And so we're going to just look, I'm going to try to briefly, probably poorly, review the story of Samson here some more. And so if you look at in the 14th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. So he came back and told his father and mother, 'I saw a woman in Timnah, one of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me as my wife.'" And so we know that the children of Israel were not supposed to marry outside of the tribe of Israel, because that would take away their hearts. We see that Samson, he sees this woman and he is attracted to her. He desires her. He does not obey God's law. And if you read this, you'll say this is from God so that he could punish the children of Israel. We see that he chose to seek a wife outside of their nation. And, you know, as always, whenever we're, you know, young and we're looking for a spouse, we need to recognize that seeking someone who has the faith in God and is going to help you raise your family and help get you to heaven, that should be a priority. And so that's just always a side note in that lesson. And so let's go on and look at verse 5 and 6. "And then Samson went down to Timnah with his father and mother and came as far as the vineyards of Timnah. And behold, a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily so that he tore him as one tears a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand, but he did not tell his father or mother what he had done." So here he is. He's walking down the road and a young lion comes out at him, roars at him, preparing to attack him, and he grabs it and is able to tear it with his bare hands. Now, I don't know how close y'all have ever been to a lion, but lions are big, and they are designed by God to kill things and eat it very quickly. And so it's just incredible that he was able to take and kill this lion with his bare hands. It would be impossible to do without the help of God. And so we see he kills that lion. And then he goes on down, and on his way back in verse 7, "So he went down and talked to the woman, and she looked good to Samson. And when he returned later to take her, he turned aside to look at the carcass of the lion, and behold, a swarm of bees and honey were in the body of the lion. So he scraped the honey in his hands and went on eating as he went. And when he came to his father and mother, he gave them some, and they ate it. But he did not tell them that he had scraped the honey out of the body of the lion." That sounds kind of gross to me. I like honey, but if it's in the dead carcass of an animal, I don't want it. But so we see that he did that, and it's probably why he didn't tell his mom and dad where he got it. And there were some rules about the Nazarite vow where he wasn't supposed to touch dead bodies. I'm not exactly sure if that fell into that category of violating that, but we see that this is the story. And so he goes down and he's preparing to marry this woman. And so they're going to hold a 7-day feast. And he proposed this riddle to the men there. And that's beginning in verse 12. "And Samson said to him, 'Now let me propound a riddle to you. If you will indeed tell to me within 7 days of the feast and find it out, then I will give you 30 linen wraps and 30 changes of clothes. But if you are unable to tell me, then you shall give me the 30 linen wraps and the 30 changes of clothes.' And they said to him, 'Propound your riddle, that we may hear it.' So he said to them, 'Out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet.' But they could not tell him the riddle in 3 days." And so we see that he proposes this riddle. Now, my initial thought on that is, whenever you meet somebody that's trying to do stuff like that, they're trying to trick you, right? He's trying to take these clothes from these men by deceit. And as Christians, that is not that's considered something like ill-gotten gain. That's like gambling. And that is not something that God wanted his people participating in. So we see that even his doing this is his evil desire to obtain these possessions. And so the if you read on in the story there, that he, his fiance comes to him and gets him to tell the story, and she goes and tells the men there. And so in verse 18, they come back to him on the seventh day, and they said, so the men of the city said to her on the seventh day, before the sun went down, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? And he said to them, if you had not plowed with my heifer, you would not have found out my riddle. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon and killed 30 of them and took their spoil and gave the changes of their clothes to those who told the riddle. And his anger burned, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his friend. And so we see that he has this companion, and I'm just making this assumption that his companion or his friend was probably a Philistine. So it's kind of showing that he's maybe hanging out there, or at least he's hanging out with another fellow Israelite who is also down there hanging out and marrying into the, you know, the enemy nation. And so we see that his response to losing this wager is that for him to go out and to take the lives of 30 other men. And that's him taking out his, you know, his own vengeance on these Philistines. As we can see, he's going to continue to go. And so after a while, he decides he wants to go back and get with this woman that he found down there. And he finds out he's been given to his companion, and he becomes angry. So he catches, I think it was 300 foxes in chapter 15, verse 6. And so he goes down there and says, Samson then said to them, this time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines when I do them harm. Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put one torch in the middle between the tails. When he had set the fire to the torches, he released the foxes into the standing grain of the Philistines, thus burning up both shocks and standing grain along with the vineyards and the groves. And so he goes back and he ties these torches between these foxes' tails and turns them out into the standing grain. Now, right now, if you pay attention, in wheat fields, they're harvesting the wheat now. What does it look like? It is really dry, and it's pretty consistent throughout the field. And if you caught that on fire, it's just, you know, that's just waiting to burn. And so he releases all these guys, and when he goes out, he destroys all this grain. Now, what's the big deal about that? Well, they people need that grain for their livelihood and also for the whole country to eat. And so all this has been destroyed. And so you can see, what a farmer would look like if you went out and set his wheat field on fire today? I mean, he would be upset, right? He would probably chase after you in his truck or whatever he had to do. They'd be angry. And so the Philistines we see are angry. And also another thing I thought interesting in this is, he says, this time I will be, let me read that way, I don't misquote it. This time I shall be blameless in regard to the Philistines. With that statement, I think he recognizes and knows that he was blameless when he went and killed the 30 men to get their clothes. And so we see that this time he's saying, I've got reason or cause to kill these men because they have taken away my, you know, given my wife to somebody else. And so the farmers and the people there and the Philistines, they become angry and they say, who did this? And they come back and they ask Samson's father-in-law his wife, and they tell him, and so they decide to burn them and kill them is their response to that. And that is in verse 7, 8. And Samson said to them, after that, Samson said to them, since you act like this, I will surely take revenge on you, but after that I will quit. He struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter, and he went down and lived in the cleft of the rock at Edom. He went and exacted his revenge on them and went out through their land and struck them. It doesn't say here how many men he killed, but he struck them with a great slaughter. And he says, when I get done with this, I'm going to quit. And he goes down, and he's down this area, and he's very thirsty. And so then the Philistines, now they're angry, right? And so they come up to the men of Judah and say, we're going to attack you unless you give us Samson. And so they go down, 3,000 men go down to get Samson. Now, if you're going to come arrest me, you're not going to need 3,000 men. But I think they recognized that God was with Samson. They took 3,000 men down there to arrest him. And Samson agrees. He said, if you'll promise not to kill me yourselves, I'll let you bind me up. And so they bound him up with brand new rope, and they took him and they turn him over to the Philistines. There in chapter 7, they said to him, We have come down to bind you. This is the people of Judah. We have come down to bind you so that we may give you into the hands of the Philistines. And Samson said to them, swear to me that you will not kill me. So they said to him, no, but we will bind you fast and give you into their hands. Surely we will not kill you. Then they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And then in verse 14, when he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted as they met him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, so that the ropes were on his arms were as flax, that is burned with fire, and his bonds dropped from his hands. And he found a fresh jawbone of a donkey, so he reached out and took it and killed 1,000 men with it. Then Samson said, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey I have killed 1,000 men. And when he had finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand, and he named that place Ramah Lehi. That is more incredible than killing the lion with his bare hands, right? He's tied up with these ropes. The Spirit of God comes on him mightily. He's able to break the ropes. He picks up the jawbone of a donkey and kills 1,000 men. Now, that's not even something that you would see in like a Jackie Chan movie. Or, I mean, can you imagine the sight of him, you know, picking up? Because I'm going to say that whenever the 3,000 people from Judah brought him, there was probably more than a few people from the Philistines there to take him, right? Because they knew his reputation. So he gets it, and he's able, with the Spirit of God, he's able to kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. And so, once again, we see that God continues to be with him. And then, so at that point, time it says that he goes back to Judah, and he judges them for 20 years. And at some point, we don't know the exact time frame, but he goes down to Gaza. He sees a harlot. He desires her. He goes in with her. In the middle of the night, the men said they're going to kill him first thing in the morning. And he gets up and he picks up a big gatepost and carries it up onto a mountain, which is just another incredible feat. And also is another example of him being worldly and just doing and achieving the things that he desires and not what God desires. And so at this point, he falls in love with a woman named Delilah. And the Philistines come to her. They want her to find out what his weakness is. And so she questions him. And every time that he tells her something, he tells her, if you bind me with fresh cords, I won't be able to get away. He breaks those loose, new ropes, locks of hair. And he keeps telling her that, and he keeps breaking away. And one of the things that, if you were like Samson and God was blessing you like that, if I was able to jump up and kill 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey, do you think you would get a little cocky? You think you would maybe have a little arrogance, some pride? When you walk down the street, would you be like, yeah, come on, anybody want to mess with me? And so I think he got complacent in the idea that he would be able to overcome anything. And he was complacent being with these women who were betraying him. Now, how is it that when we are in sin, maybe we are close to sin, and we think we're able to overcome that, and maybe we do, we resist it, And Samson was able to resist the Philistines every time they came in. And then we see that Delilah keeps pestering him there in verse 15. Then she said to him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have deceived me these three times and have not told me where your great strength is." It came about when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him that his soul was annoyed to death. So here we see that she kept asking him, and it said his soul was annoyed to death. That is a point in time when we're all going to slip and fall. There's going to be a time when we are at our greatest weakness. And if we are close to sin when that happens, guess what we're going to do? Very likely we could be like Samson and reveal our, and sin the way he revealed his secret. And so we see that they come in, the men come in. In verse 20, so she shaves his head, and she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. Then the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze chains. And he was a grinder in the prison. We see that Samson had, this isn't the first time that Samson has committed a sin, right? But God kept, the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him. But at this point in time, God has left him. Now, throughout our lives as Christians, we all sin, right? We all, God is, continues to be with us. We repent. But there comes a point in time when we have left God so far that I think that he is going to leave us as well. And if we look at passages in the Bible, it talks about how, people that have left the Lord, whenever we would maybe withdraw from this, he's already done so in heaven. And so we see that there is a time that God would withdraw from us whenever we have gone too far with our sin, no matter what it is. And so I think we see this is what happens with Samson, is that he has finally, God has withdrawn from him. The Spirit of the Lord has departed from him. And they took him and they gouged out his eyes and put him in prison as a grinder. He was apparently working some type of a machine. And so he is suffering. He is fully suffering the physical consequences of his sin, isn't he? We talk about a lot of times how whenever we sin, we can get forgiveness, but the physical consequences of those sin don't always go away. Samson's the perfect example of this. He's got his eyes gouged out. He's a prisoner in the enemy's camp, and they're making fun of him down there. And so we see in verse 23 says, "Now the lords of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, 'Our God has given Samson our enemy into our hands.' When the people saw him, they praised their god, for they said, 'Our God has given our enemy into our hands, even the destroyer of our country, who has slain many of us.' And it so happened when they were in high in spirits that they said, 'Call for Samson that he may amuse us.' So they called for Samson from the prison, and he entertained them, and they made him stand between the pillars. Then Samson said to the boy who was holding his hand, 'Let me feel the pillars on which the house rests, that I may lean against them.' Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. About 3,000 men and women were on the roof looking on while Samson was amusing them. Then Samson called to the Lord and said, 'O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me just this time. O God, that I may once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.' Samson grasped the two middle pillars on which the house rested, and braced himself against them, the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bent with all his might, so the house fell on the lords and all the people who were in it. So the dead whom he killed at his death were more than whom he had killed in his life. Then his brothers and all his father's household came down, took him brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtol in the tomb of Manoah his father. Thus he had judged Israel for 20 years. And so we see the end of Samson's life. He basically commits suicide and kills all these Philistines with him. And we see that God, when he prayed to God, God came back to him and gave him some of that, gave him his strength back so he could do that. And I want to real quick, I want to look at some of the causes of Samson's failures. Number one, he didn't obey God's word. We see he went after these strange women. Whatever he saw or desired, he went after. Also, he tried to deceive people. He tried to deceive these people, this riddle. He took his own revenge. You remember David, whenever David was being persecuted by Saul, he wouldn't take his own revenge. Or other times in David's life when he had the opportunity to get his own revenge and he would let God do it. We see that Samson, he got his own revenge. He even used the jawbone of a donkey to kill 1,000 men in revenge. You know, I don't think any of y'all have ever killed 1,000 men or 100 men. But how many of us have taken our own jawbones and used our words to tear others down, to destroy other people? Another thing that he didn't do is he didn't love God's people. We see that he sought to get a wife from the enemy camp. It seems to me like he spent a lot of time there. He was there looking at for the prostitutes. You know, he was there in the area seeing them. It seems that his best friend was a Philistine. He didn't choose to marry a person that was an Israelite. What about us? Do we want to be with our fellow Christians, or we desire to be with Christians, or do we desire to be with people of the world that are involved in other sins? That's something that I think that if we want to be with those people more, it says something about what we desire. Another thing is he didn't honor God. God gave Samson a purpose from his birth. He was to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. But throughout his disobedience, even though God was able to use him through his disobedience to accomplish his purpose, Samson brought dishonor to God. And if you look at Judges, the 16th chapter, I mean, look at this phrase that the Philistine said, "Our God has given Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised him. They said, "Our God has given our enemy into our hands." Should they have been praising? They should have been praising Jehovah, right? If Samson had lived his life in obedience to Jehovah, would they have been able to say, "Our gods have delivered Samson to us"? They wouldn't, would they? Because God would not have allowed that to have happened. And if we look at Romans, the second chapter, in verse 24, this is speaking about the Jews there. It says, "For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written, 'For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision.'" Because of the way the Jews behaved and treated people, God was blasphemed because of that. Now think about that as a Christian today. If somebody sees you out there or me out there doing something, and they say, "That guy says he's a Christian, and look what he's doing." How is that is no different than them. They're saying, there's no God. He doesn't live like there's a God. You blaspheme God with your actions. You don't honor him. You know, if you were to just have this part of Samson's life, if we were to be the judge, if we had to vote, say, who's gonna be saved? Moses and David and Samson. Throw some of the kings in there. You think that people say, "I don't know if Samson's going to make it," right? But we see that Samson, he does repent. In 16, or chapter 16 and verse 21. You know, he was there suffering, getting what he deserves. But also want to look at 2 Peter, the third chapter. Beginning in verse 8. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved. Beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promises. Some of you count slowness, but patience is towards you, not wishing for any of you to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God was desiring Samson to repent. God is desiring us to come to repentance. He wants everybody. He gives us all time. And we see there in verse 22 of chapter 16, it says, however, the hair of his head began to grow again after it was shaved off. And then in verse 28, when he's in front of the, or in between the pillars, Samson called the Lord and said, oh, Lord God, please remember me. What did he do at this point in time? He prayed to God, right? He says, oh, Lord God, please remember me. Strengthen me just this one time. Did he say, please remember me. Give me back my eyes. Let me run out of here so I can get back to my riotous lifestyle. At this point in time, he's humbled, right? He doesn't have the same swagger that he had, that he used to have, but he's humbled himself. He realizes that he needs to do God's purposes. And he even says, at the end of his prayer, he says, you know, let me die with the Philistine. You know, how is that compared to us? Are we to go out here into the world and kill all the sinners like a, you know, with a suicide bomber? That's not what we're taught to do. Samson had a different purpose than we do. In Mark, the 8th chapter, in verse 34, and he summoned the crowd with his disciples and said to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. He's not telling us to destroy our physical bodies by crashing a building down on us. He's saying that we got to lose our life. We got to give up those things that Samson wanted, the things that we want. Because whenever we walk down the street, we see something that's worldly. We want to participate in it. He said we got to lose that. We got to give up that and let our lives be turned over, focused on Jesus. I want to look one more time back in Hebrews. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 32. He's just gone through and listed a lot of these people here. And says, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets. So Samson's name is mentioned here. Who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword from weakness, were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, women received back their dead by the resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn into two, they were tempted, they were put to death with the sword, they went out in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground, and all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised. because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would be made perfect. Because of their faith and their obedience, it says they have gained approval through their faith. Now, because Samson was able to gain his approval, you know what that should give us all? That should give us all some confidence that we can too can gain that approval, right? If we can just have our faith in God, we can repent from our sins, leave the things of the world, quit being, you know, worldly, more focused on God, we can obtain the same approval. If Samson can do it, any of us can. And so that's the point of my lesson, is that there is no reason that we can't have the same faith that Samson had. All the evil things he did, all the evil things I've done, God will forgive us of those things if we repent and put our faith in him. If there's anything you have you want to repent of publicly tonight, this is a good time to do it. If you want to privately go home and pray for your repentance, or if you've never become a Christian, please come now and be one of the called, one of the chosen. If anybody has any need, come forward as we sing our closing song.